Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord, our God and King. He's coming soon and imminently coming soon. I love him and he loves us. You know, I get excited about the Lord's return because I'm going to get to enjoy the Lord's presence without interference. I think that's what I look to mostly about going to heaven. You know, the things of God is so good and so much to do and learn. I love when he teach me and share things with me. I love it. And I love living in his presence. I pray for that. Now, this when I wasn't just a whim. When that was something I stayed after the Lord about. Now, I say that sometimes because in this realm, you have to be relentless about your faith. Faith is relentless. Faith don't stop. And the easiest way to deal with faith is to drive out doubt. But when I say stay after God about it, this world is negative. It's a lot of negative influences. And they come from every direction except from God and people that are mature in the Lord. A person can love God, and if they lack knowledge, they can discourage great things of God. And I had to learn these kind of facts. See, you know, balance comes from wisdom, holiness, and love. So when people are persuaded wrong, you can tell that they mean well. But when if they give you bad counsel, it's because they sincerely believe this. They believe what they're saying. They think they're helping. Wisdom can see this and understand it. And so at that point, if a person proves that they're not stable in an area, don't trust them in that area. That's just common sense. You know, I had a pastor once and the Lord showed me a vision. He said, only listen to him when I'm using him, when my anointing's on him, when I'm using him. In the dream, he was under the anointing speaking and then he was just casually speaking, you know. Now, this is not a throw against him. He was a wonderful man of God. He was a man of faith too. And I love him and I appreciate him. I appreciate him then, I appreciate him now. But the Lord showed me that because at that point in my life, if the Lord didn't do that, I would have just went with whatever he said. But when, and you have to make adjustments. The Holy Spirit can, if you run things by the Holy Spirit, he can help you make the proper adjustments. That's why I say that. Because balance must be protected. And the Lord gave me revelation on balance today. And I started sensing these things in my spirit a few weeks ago. But before I did a broadcast, I just prayed in the Holy Spirit a while. And then I asked the Lord more about it. And he gave me something beautiful about balance. And we're going to talk about it. But the last two broadcasts that God gave me, those were assignments. Because the Lord he loves his people. People have been praying for people. And they don't. Parents don't want their children left. Children don't want their parents to be left when the Lord raptures his church. They don't want their cousins, friends, church members. See, everybody have people that don't make up their mind, you know, to fully serve God. And sometimes it's obvious that they're a little bit wayward. And you wonder, where will they land after the rapture? Will they be on earth or in heaven? And I don't doubt against people. If you doubt people, you know, I don't doubt against people. But I know what the Lord told me. He said, and I know how the word of God is written. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. Jesus said, be ready when he come. Don't be like the five foolish virgins. These were not idolaters. But they were God's people that went with a compromise. And they had sin in their life. And see, you can't have a divided allegiance. It's impossible. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. If people that are living, we're going to see this as we go on. But people that are living by the world, they can't follow God correctly. Sin is growing in them. Leaven is sin, folks. People with sin in their life will not be raptured. Period. People with strife in their life will not be raptured. Period. The man that was on that Reinhard Bonnke put out a video, a VHS back then, about it. It was a pastor in Africa. He had a car wreck, and he did a video, and his video showed more about it. But he said that when the angel showed him heaven, where he would be if he when he go, then he showed him hell, and he said that. And I believe this too. I really do. With all my heart, I believe. I believed it in the 90s when I got the VHS, and I believe it today. He died in an accident. Well, he died at the hospital. But the angel told him in the ambulance, you asked the Lord to forgive you of all your sins, but you didn't forgive your wife. Now his wife stood in the gap and would not yield. She stayed in faith without doubt. My hat's off to that woman. I love that woman. She did not let her. 4 days, he was embalmed and everything. 4 days later, or after he had died, I forgot the time frame, but the Lord brought him back. But the angel said, if you died now, this is where you would be. He was in hell. He said, you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, but you didn't forgive your wife. And you know, how many people are in strife with people that they love? They're in strife with their children. They're in strife with their spouse. They're in strife with the pastor. Watch this one. This will take a lot of people out right here. In strife with Donald Trump. Or in strife with Biden. Forgive people. And not just people. Don't let unforgiveness be in your blind spot. It's very important. People, Daniel put it this way, the wicked will do wickedly, and they will do wickedness, and they won't understand. And then when people are trying to do right, doing the best they know, somebody, the tares are going to definitely speak evil against them. Now, I know wonderful men and women of God that preach on TV. They pour their heart out. People are being healed, blessed. They're full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And people in their ranks do videos against them. See, the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And sometimes by false Christians and sometimes by deceived Christians. But if you follow a person around long enough and the enemy, Satan being Satan, he will accuse them of something. And it will look real. And then unwise people make videos trying to expose people, thinking they're doing good. See, you can't. Jesus said, and Isaiah said, Jesus didn't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ear, but with righteous judgments he made judgments. Why did he have to write that? Because it's going to happen, because the enemy is active. We have an active enemy. And that's what he do. Accuse the brethren. So even if people are doing the worst, you don't have to be in strife with them. You don't have to fall for that. God gave us enough to go on with. He gave us the teachings of Jesus. And if you do what Jesus said, you're going to live. You do what he said to the seven churches. You do what he said. You do the things he said to the seven churches. You're going to be just fine. You don't have to be. You don't have to fear being left behind. But when you think of a person and you get angry, you need to repent. Because the enemy is a prosecutor against your faith. He will try to prosecute you. He will accuse you before God. Don't let it be real. Let him be the liar, just like Job did. Job stood. So it can happen. People can't stand. And the only way I know to do that is to walk in the love of God. Stay balanced in the love of God. Don't make decisions without the love of God, the wisdom of God, and the holiness of God. And you'll be fine. Now, God told the truth. Everything, the people he take with him, he should have took, and the people he left, he should have left. And that would be, there are people on the verge of being taken. You know, I'm not just making this stuff up. If you think about the scriptures for a minute, Peter wrote, I think it was Peter, if people are scarcely saved, he said the church people, there are many people that are scarcely saved. So where will the unrighteous and the sinner appear? If the church is scarcely saved, you know, Romans 10, I'm going to read Romans 10 before we go any further. Because that's something that always used to bug me. And it used to bother me. It used to bug me. I said, there's something going on here mainstream, you know, the way people teach, you kind of go with it. But some things stick out. And I want you to see this for yourself. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe on Jesus. Verse 9. If thou shalt verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near thee even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's true. Now watch this example. For means because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So don't let anything attack your faith and your will to do the things of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto, towards salvation. You're going to get it, but you're going there. Now, a lot of people let distractions happen in their life, and they go in and out of balance. So you can't serve, Jesus pointed out that we can't serve God with a false allegiance. You can't be double-minded about salvation. You can't have any other gods before him. Don't let it be true. Don't let finances cause you to stumble. Greed, lust, whatever you gravitate to, that's what you're going to focus on. Don't let anything, if the enemy change your focus, he change you with it. Because that's what gets in your heart. that your greatest allegiance must be the Lord. We're complete in Him. We don't need props and crutches. You got so many Christians feeling like, I got to get married. All right. You complete in Him. Don't ignore that. Or you're going to be a basket. You're going to have a basket case marriage if you don't. Because you're going to put pressure on people. Just because people get married, it's not going to go the marriages don't always go the way you think. You're dealing with a person with a will. And that person may be beautiful to you. You may have a lot in common. But when you live with a person, that person's going to be who they are. And they have expectations just like you do. And they may clash. So, you know, marriage is not, it's not going to always get you out of the problem you have. If you don't learn to be complete in Jesus, then it's not, a man can't use his wife for a crutch. A woman can't use her husband for a crutch. You got to look to Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. And then you can have a, Miles Monroe taught that. Then you can have a good marriage. He said it this way. If you need to be married, you're going to mess your marriage up. Not always, but I mean, you know. But if you don't need to be married, then you can be married. Paul did say it's better to marry than to burn. Well, if you learn to be, it is. But if you learn to be complete in Jesus, you're going to be fine. And life won't. A part of your life don't have to control your life. God gave us good things to enjoy. So look to Him and all your problems can be solved perfectly. But the enemy, being the enemy, he will sow the wrong people in your life, in your path, to mess you up. Tares don't just marry tares. Tares are weapons of Satan. They look like us. They sound like us. They agree with us on the surface. But on the inside, they're different. And they're not balanced. And they do anything. And people that'll do anything. See, when God raptures His people, you're going to have a snapshot of everything, every person without their mask on. And as you know, everybody's going to see what God saw all along. So these last two broadcasts I did, the ones I'm referring to as my response, and then the one next to it, Covenant Selections was the second one. Okay. My response and covenant selections. And the Lord wanted people to know. Because see, when it happens, I like to give people warning so people can understand. And then there's nothing you can't be to understand. So it's important to stay balanced. The enemy wants to keep you from being balanced. Now, all throughout the Word of God, when people got in pride. When men got in pride, they served pride. When they got in sin, they served sin. When something looked good to them, they went with it. And but when you're balanced, you can do things. You can do what Jesus was balanced. The apostles became balanced. After Jesus left them here, they lived a balanced life. One time, Peter was about to get out of balance, and Paul helped him get back in balance. You know, in Galatians, when Peter was eating with the Gentiles. And then when he saw the Jews coming, he ate with the Jews. And Paul called him out. He rebuked him openly. We have to receive correction sometimes. The Holy Spirit helps us live in balance. He guides us. It's up to us to follow the guidance. Very important. So what is balance? I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is... I knew what... I had a He was giving me these things a few weeks ago, but I wanted to hear it more specifically from him, because then it's perfect. Okay, so he gave me a better definition of balance. In his version of balance is determined, is, he said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Balance is the determined sincerity. Determined sincerity. I'm going to underline that. Determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. If you have this kind of determined sincerity, you can't get out of control. You'll regard the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God as you make your choices. And as you decide where your allegiance will go. And it'll always be on the Lord. Then he said this. He said, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's the relentless sincerity is the same thing. It's determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. But it's relentless. It will not change. It will not change. It will never change. It will, in fact, it continues to increase in determination. And if it's if the enemy attack, it gets stronger. It digs deeper. Relentless sincerity is perfect balance. And that's where I desire to live. And I have done it in some cases, but you have to do it out of way of life. Okay. Relentless sincerity is steadfast and unmovable and never changes. But then he said something interesting. He said, proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. I'm going to read that part again. Proud men can never be balanced, and they cannot value it, neither can they appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Now, he's talking about his balance. They are enemies, proud people are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. That's how Satan is. Then he said this, their focus is within, and it's a worldly view. See, he told me a long time ago, years ago, he said, faith looks to God. The focus of faith is God, his word, Jesus. All things of God. The focus of faith is to God. But pride looks within, and fear looks to man. Now, pride and fear work hand in hand, just like love and faith. Now these are my examples. I got two today. One of them is 1 Samuel 18 and 12. That's the tornado warning siren. All right. 1 Samuel 18 and 12. Saul was afraid. After he got in pride, he became afraid. And he started getting in fear. To the point, he tried to kill David because of this. Am I right? Okay. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. Now watch this now. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him, because he was proud. Now watch this. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Miriam, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For the Lord said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. See, he was already supposed to give his daughter to David when he killed the Goliath, but he didn't do it. Then he tried to give David his younger daughter, thinking that she's a spoiled brat, she'll get him killed. This is how the proud man can never be balanced. And Saul died begging an Amalekite of all people to kill him. I got another one, Jeremiah 38:19. Now, this one here stands out to me. Because the prophet said, you're going into captivity. Years before it happened, when nobody believed him and they laughed at him and mocked him. And he said, well, I don't want to preach anymore. But his word was like fire shut up in his bones. But now, Nebuchadnezzar had, he installs Zedekiah as king of Judah. For now. And all he had to do was listen to Jeremiah. Now I'm not going to. He came to Jeremiah while Jeremiah was in the dungeon. And Jeremiah told him what was going to happen. Well. Let's look at, I'll start at verse 1. I'm going to Jeremiah 38:19, but 38 verse 1 says, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukah, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, the city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said to the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words to them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Now, when Jeremiah did these things, he told them years ago, before this happened, that they were going into captivity. They didn't repent. They didn't try to ask God to spare them. They didn't ask. Like they did in the days of the judges. Don't forget that. Verse 5. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. So, and they took Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take him from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took this old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech was balanced. He was steadfast and unmovable. He had to tie old rotten rags, cords, and cast clouts together to get Jeremiah out of this mess. And he took the matter to the king in the first place. Now the king spared Jeremiah's life, so the king's life was spared. Okay, verse 12. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. And they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? See, it's wise to bargain. Verse 16. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hands of these men that seek thy life. Now watch this. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, the God of the armies of heaven, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. Now watch this. And thy city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. That's wonderful, isn't it? But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given unto the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me.